Daniel chapter 10, been in the book of Daniel for some time now, and I hope you've enjoyed it. I have to admit, I've learned a lot of things myself going through the book of Daniel, and we're in the 10th chapter now, and we're going to begin reading in verse 1, and I'd like to stand. If you're able to stand, stand with me. We'll read responsively, Lord willing. We'll read the 21 verses of the chapter, and ask the Lord to help us to see some things once again about this man, Daniel.
Amen.
I think every time I preach about someone, I've done character series, I've done books of the Bible, and I hope you understand what I mean by this, but I almost fall in love with the character and their life, and Daniel has been one of them. Here is a man that is now in his mid to upper 80s. I'll mention that here in chapter 10. And still serving the Lord. Still doing the right thing. And still living for God. That's amazing. I mean, he was a teenager when he came to Babylon. And here he is now still serving the Lord. So let's read responsively. I'll read verse 1. You read verse 2 and go back and forth. Help me save my voice a little bit for the message. So Daniel chapter 10. Notice verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked. Behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone, and saw this great vision. And there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. Lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. And said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong.
Amen.
And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me.
Amen.
Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia, and when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Amen. Now the story goes on into chapter 11. But we're going to stop here and just deal with this. And Lord willing, we'll see some things we can learn about Daniel tonight. So let's pray. Father, we come before thee this evening once again, knowing and recognizing that we need thee. Lord, that without you, we can do nothing. We can't even hear the word of God without you. I cannot preach without you. We cannot have this service without you. Again, for without you, we can do nothing. So we ask this evening your blessing upon thy word. Lord, as I preach the message that I believe that you've led me to preach tonight, please speak to our hearts. Give us understanding of your word. And Lord, touch us in a way that only you can touch us by your spirit. Lord, I can say things, but it's only by thy spirit that your work is done.
Amen.
And so please remove any distractions from this room and from our minds tonight. Bless the message. Help me, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. For several weeks now, we have been in this second section of the book of Daniel. Now, as I've been saying throughout this series, the book of Daniel could be divided into two different sections. You could divide it in section one, chapters 1-6, which would be primarily narrative. In other words, this would be the stories of Daniel's life. Daniel coming into Babylon, his being challenged to eat the king's meat, his being thrown into the den of lions, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Nebuchadnezzar's dream, all of those things would be narrative or stories pertaining to the life of Daniel. But then there's a second section that begins in chapter 7 through chapter 12 that is primarily prophecy. It is the visions or the prophecies, the dreams, however you want to state it, that God had given to us through Daniel. Now, this second section of chapters 7 through 12 consists of four separate dreams or visions that God gave to Daniel. All of them at different time periods, each of them marked by a phrase, which we'll see in a moment, and all of them happening in the latter portion of Daniel's life. You remember the first vision, if you'll flip back there if you'd like, chapter 7, we find it, was received. Notice the time frame that marks each of these visions. The first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon. This was the vision of the four beasts. Those four beasts symbolize four great Gentile world empires, the empire of Babylon and the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire and the Roman Empire in its three stages of the conquering stage, the future 10-nation coalition stage that is yet to come, and then the stage under the Antichrist. Now you say, wow, you said a mouthful there. Well, I preached about it before, so get the CD if you want to know the details. Then there was a second vision, if you look at chapter 8. 2 years later, the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me. This second vision concerned primarily the Jews. It was what we refer to as the ram and the he-goat dream, depicting the Medo-Persian Empire and the Grecian Empire and the rise of a leader after Alexander the Great that we know today as Antiochus Epiphanes or Antiochus the Fourth, who would be a picture of the Antichrist to come. And Daniel learns of this severe persecution of the Jews for 2,300 days or 6 years during that time frame. Then we come to chapter 9 and Daniel's third vision. We looked at this last week. Received notice in the first year in verse 1 of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus. Now, we know Daniel was praying. He was seeking God. He was a little confused about God's time frame and all of that. And God reveals to him an amazing prophecy. An absolutely amazing vision, I believe. Some have called it the key to prophecy passage. And that is the 70 weeks of Daniel. And I'm not going to re-preach that tonight. But if you remember, it told Daniel how God would accomplish all that was promised to the nation of Israel, fulfilling the Abrahamic covenant, Palestinian covenant, Davidic covenant, and the new covenant, all a part of the Abrahamic covenant.
Right.
And how God would do this through three major events, which would cover a period of 490 years. He talked about the 7 weeks or the 49 years where the Jews would be permitted to return to the land of Babylon. He talked about 62 weeks when the Messiah would come and be rejected. And then he talked about a final 7 week period, which we know that would be a future thing, if you will, during the tribulation period, where the Antichrist would rise to power, make a covenant with the Jews, then break that covenant in the midst of the 7 years, in 3.5 years, and he would severely persecute the people of God. I'm not going to get into all the details. I went further than I even wanted to right there. But this was Daniel's third vision and Daniel's third dream, which brings us to chapter 10. The final, fourth vision. Now, this fourth and final vision is not given to us in one chapter of the Bible. Instead, it's actually given to us in three. Chapter 10, chapter 11, and chapter 12 all contain the final vision of Daniel. Now, of course, we couldn't read it all tonight. Well, we could have, but I probably would have been standing here alone in 3 hours from now. Maybe not. So we'll just deal with it one chapter at a time, Lord willing. Now, you could title each of these chapters, if you're going to break down this three-chapter vision, this way. You could say chapter 10 was the introduction to Daniel's last vision. Well, I'll see some pretty neat things. I can't cover them all, but I'm going to do my best to cover what I believe the Lord has led me to preach tonight. Chapter 11 would be the vision itself, and then chapter 12 would be the conclusion of that vision. And so tonight, we're going to deal with this introduction to Daniel's last vision that we just read. Now, before Daniel gets the actual vision, we actually read none of it tonight, none of the vision. We read all the preliminaries. We read all of that introductory things that had happened. But what we find before he gets this actual vision, that Daniel is visited by a divine being. We're going to talk about that, who that is later. But what I'd like to look at this evening is something that this divine being says about Daniel. He doesn't just say it once in this chapter. He says it twice.
Amen.
Well, see, he says it another time, and I'll point it out in a moment here. But notice, if you will, verse 11 of chapter 10. We read, "And he said unto me," this divine visitor says to Daniel the prophet, a man like me and you, serving the Lord for over 80 years, he says, "A man greatly beloved."
Amen.
Whew. That's amazing to me.
Praise the
Lord. So tonight I'd like to preach on that thought. That's the title of the message this evening. Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Not just beloved, greatly beloved.
Amen.
You know, three times in the book of Daniel, Daniel is referred to as a man greatly beloved. I just read you the verse in verse 11, and he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Look over, if you would, at chapter 10 and verse 19, and said, O man, greatly beloved. Then look back at chapter 9 and verse 23. We read, at the beginning of thy supplications, a commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Three times. No other person in the entire Bible is referred to in these exact terms. None. Just Daniel. Now, I'm not saying that means that no one else was greatly beloved. But what I am saying is this. Daniel was referred to as greatly beloved. How many would say it's a compliment? A great compliment. And this isn't some man saying to another man, boy, you're a good guy. You're a spiritual man. Boy, this guy really loves the Lord. We could say that about people. And many times, sometimes, certainly could be true. But this is someone from heaven. We're going to see who it is. Amen. Calling Daniel, this man, greatly beloved.
Praise the Lord.
Why is he calling him that? Now, there's no doubt in my mind that God loves everyone. Amen? That was a really, really good spot for an amen right there. That was good. I'll give you another chance, right? There's no doubt that God loves everyone.
Amen.
I hope you feel loved tonight. For God so loved the world, right, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says God loves all of mankind.
Amen.
Despite our sin, despite our imperfections, He loved all of us, and He proved that love on the cross of Calvary. He commended that love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
But we have to admit, if we're honest with ourselves, that there are certain people in the Bible that God says things of concerning His love that He doesn't say of others.
Right.
Now, I don't understand that. I'm going to use that phrase a lot tonight because a little bit later I'm going to show you some things I believe, but I don't understand, just like probably you don't. Maybe if you do, you can help me out at the end of the service.
Amen.
And I'll let you preach the next time. But one of those men is the Apostle John. I don't know about you, when I read what is said of the Apostle John, I scratch my head a little bit and I wonder, that's interesting that God said that. Let me show you what I mean. Don't turn there. John 19:26. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved.
Amen.
What about me? That's what I want to say. Whom he loved, don't he love me? Why would the Bible say that? Specifically point to this man, John, and say, boy, that's the disciple that Jesus loved. Now, mind you, it's not saying he didn't love the others. And I'm going to explain that in a moment. John chapter 20 and verse 2. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. There it is again.
Amen.
John chapter 21 and verse 7. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. There it is again.
Amen.
Again, that doesn't mean Christ didn't love the others. So what does it mean? What does it mean? Well, perhaps the definition of the phrase that we find in Daniel chapters 9 and 10, greatly beloved, will help. What does it mean when God says of Daniel, Daniel, a man greatly beloved? What does it mean? Here's what it means. It means this. Look it up in the Strong's Concordance. It's very easy to find. It means to be greatly delighted in. It means to be pleasant in the eyes of.
Amen.
You know, in order to understand this, I think, I hope I say this right. Those of us that have children, I think we understand this. All children are all different. They're grandchildren are real different. No, I'm kidding. They're perfect. Amen. But we'd have to admit, as a parent, at least if you're the right kind of parent, we love our children.
Amen.
There's nothing they can do that will stop us from loving them.
Amen.
Now, how many agree with that? All right? If you don't have a child, you can still raise your hand. It makes sense, right? Help me out here tonight. Show me you're with me tonight. Amen?
Amen.
But couldn't we say that it is very possible that although we love them all equally, that we're not always necessarily delighting in them all? In other words, it is possible that some children bring greater delight than others. The ones that do right. Amen. The ones that show respect to their parents. The ones that want to live for God. Man, we delight in that. But if they don't, We still love them.
Right.
But we're a little disappointed.
Right.
And so when God says this of Daniel, what he's saying to this man is this: I greatly delight in this man. He is pleasant in my eyes. Look at this man. He's living for me. He's doing what's right. Man, I love that Daniel.
Lord, amen.
So what was it? What was it about Daniel that caused God to say, greatly beloved, and especially in these, is this chapter twice? Well, I'm going to show you. I'm going to just solely look at this chapter and see why is it from this chapter did God say of him, a man greatly beloved.
Amen.
The first reason is this. Number one, I believe we see Daniel's passion. Daniel was a man of passion. You say, what do you mean by that? Look at verse 1. The third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, notice, I, Daniel, watch this, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all, notice, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled.
Amen.
As this chapter opens, we find this man, greatly beloved of God, mourning.
Amen.
Crying. Right. In grief.
Right.
Sad in his heart. So much so that we read that he ate no pleasant bread. Of course, that could be a fast. But either way, he had no bread. The Bible says, neither flesh nor wine came into his mouth. He did not anoint himself at all, which is a symbol of joy, by the way. And he did this for 3 whole weeks.
Amen.
We can't even get by a day without having something to eat. We're Baptists. We like food. I mean, 12 o'clock rolls around, 12:15, 12:20, the preacher's still preaching. Oh, I'm starving! When's the preacher going to get done? 3 weeks. Why is Daniel so upset? Why? What is it? Well, although our text does not tell us exactly why Daniel was mourning, I believe we can surmise some things from the time of our text. Let me show you what I mean. Look at verse 1. We are told that it was the 3rd year of Cyrus, king of Persia. Now, why is that significant? Well, I'll show you why. Hold your hand here and go back to the little book of Ezra after 2 Chronicles, Ezra chapter 1, and perhaps we can understand the circumstances that we find here. Remember, Daniel chapter 10, it is the 3rd year of Cyrus. Ezra chapter 1 and verse 1. Now in the 1st year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him. And let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel.
Amen.
He is the God which is in Jerusalem.
Amen.
And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold, and with goods and with beasts, beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. That, my friend, is the proclamation of King Cyrus.
Amen.
Now, someone said this, I believe it was Brother Stevens, that when Trump had, of course, brought the acknowledged the capital of Jerusalem, capital of Israel to be Jerusalem, I am told, and correct me if this is wrong, that they minted a coin. And the coin on one side is a picture of Donald Trump. And the other side, Cyrus. Why is that? Because of that. Cyrus, notice, in the first year of his reign, he issued a decree that liberated all of the Jews from Babylonian and Medo-Persian captivity. He allowed the Jews to be free. He allowed them to return to the land that God had promised them and to go back there and do what the prophecy said that they would do. Rebuild the house of God and settle back in their homeland. Man, you'd think it was a wild time there when they heard that proclamation. But if you read on to the book of Ezra, you'd find something. You'd find that the response of the Jews to this decree was disheartening, to say the least. Why is that? Out of all of the Jews that were in Babylon, probably hundreds of thousands of them, only a small portion of them, we have the record of it there in the book of Ezra under the leadership of Zerubbabel. It tells us how many went back. About only 50,000 of them returned. Instead of desiring to go back to their homeland, the vast majority of the Jews, understand, they were there for 70 years. Some of them never even stepped foot in Israel, in Jerusalem. They knew nothing else. And so when this decree was issued, they, many of them, most of them, did not want to go back. They wanted to stay. They didn't want to rebuild the temple. They were prosperous in Babylon. They had their lives set up. They had their businesses going. They had their children, and perhaps even after 70 years, their children's children there. They were absolutely immersed in the ways of Babylon. They had come to love that land of the heathen.
Right.
And so the decree of Cyrus was like, hooray, yay. Not what was to be expected.
Right.
And I believe that broke Daniel's heart.
Amen.
Now, Daniel was 80 some years old, probably too old to go back. He had a position there. He was older. And I believe that's why he probably couldn't go back. But as he looked out, he saw all of his brethren sitting there. He's probably thinking, hey, didn't you hear the decree? Cyrus said, we could go back. Let's go, let's go, let's go.
Amen.
And out trickled just a few little families. You see, Daniel, my point is this. Daniel had a passion for God. God's work.
Praise the Lord.
He had a burden for God's people.
Amen.
That's why he was greatly beloved. His passion was he had a burden for the people of God who had become apathetic, who had become indifferent to the things of God. And it bothered Daniel.
Amen.
Can I ask you tonight? What about you? Does it bother you that most of God's people, and I chose that word correctly, most, not a few, most,
amen,
most are indifferent,
right,
about God's work.
Amen.
Now, certainly there are some that are not, some that want to go back like those Jews, and let's do something for God, let's rebuild the temple. But here in this day we live in, so many of God's people are indifferent about the work of God. You know, it's hard to even find people that are faithful to the house of God.
Right.
Well, it's raining. I guess we're going to have to miss tonight. Well, you know, we could... Sorry, folks, but we can watch it online. There's a side of me that wants to say, unplug that thing.
Amen.
They want to hear it, they need to come, if they can come. But then I have the other side of me that says, well, there's shut-ins and there's people that truly can't make it.
Amen.
And so we want to be a blessing to them. But God help us for those that abuse it, those that say, you know what, I just don't feel like coming. You know, I'm a little tired tonight. And they forsake the house of God. Does that bother you?
Amen.
Does it bother you that most Christians today can go weeks without handing out a tract? Not speaking to anyone about the Lord?
Amen.
Father Daniel.
Yes,
we're to have a burden for the lost. Yes, we are. But I'll tell you what, we should have a burden for the people of God this evening. Because if it weren't for the apathy of the people of God, we wouldn't have the problems that we have out there. And that bothered him. Oh, Daniel's passion. Does it bother you when you see some of the things that people post online? That say they're a Christian and members of Capital Baptist Church? I don't look at that stuff, so I'm not talking about, I'm not aiming at anybody tonight. But may I say, if the shoe fits?
Amen.
And that's exactly why I don't look at that stuff, because I just want to be foolish and believe everybody's doing the right thing. Please don't burst my little bubble here, okay? The truth of the matter is, sometimes people post things about what they do, where they go, they say things, and you wonder, are these people listening to the preaching of God's Word? Do they have the same Bible that I have?
Amen.
God help us. Ringtones that we hear on people's phones that claim to be Christian sounds like a rock and roll song?
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
And I'm thinking, what in the world? What kind of testimony is that?
Amen.
Does that bother you? Does it bother you when we look all across our land, what's going on in church after church, following this CCM junk and this liberalism and this watered-down preaching of the Word of God, a departure from the King James Bible and a departure from the standards of God's Word? Does that bother us?
Amen.
It should.
Amen.
Unless perhaps you've gotten to the point, God help us all. And by the way, sometimes I feel myself getting drawn in there to say, what's the use? I'm not going to do that, but you know what I'm talking about. The flesh is there. Hey, you want to say, are we making a difference? Is anybody listening here? You see, Daniel, still at the age of 80 years old, had a passion for God and God's people and God's work.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Well, preacher, I used to go soul winning. I used to be in the bus ministry. I used to. Well, you have no excuse looking at Daniel.
Amen.
Daniel was faithful to the end, and you can be too. And I understand our role may change as we get older because of our health and our ability. I understand that. But there's never a time we should get to the place where we say, I'm done serving God. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to coast into eternity.
Amen.
At the very least, we can have a prayer ministry. All of us can do something. I believe that's why Daniel was called great and beloved. He had a passion there. Oh, he's broken. He's weeping. He is mourning for 3 straight weeks.
Amen.
So we see Daniel's passion. Notice, secondly, I also see Daniel's vision of God. Now, from verses 4 to 11, Daniel finds himself, if you look at, where is it, verse 4, he is 60 miles away from Babylon. He is by the Hiddekel River. That's the Tigris River, by the way. Also called the Great River. I know you're in Ezra. Come on back to Daniel chapter 10. Now, some say that Daniel was there because of official business. That could be. We don't know. He just says he's there. Some say that he was transported there, kind of like God did to people in the Bible. Could have done that as well. Either way, doesn't matter. He's there. And while he is there, he gets a visitor.
Amen.
Look at verse 5. Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Ufaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. That kind of reminds me of the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. But anyway, verse 8, therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me. For my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent.
Amen.
When he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Who is this? Well, there's somewhat of a difference of opinion as to who this is. Some say that this is Gabriel once again, just assuming that it's him because it's Gabriel that had spoken to him before. But others say that this is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They say it's a Christophany. Now, in my opinion, I believe that this is a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, I believe I can answer some of the things if you want to talk to me after the service and go on here, but I can't deal with all of that now. But after looking at Scripture and seeing some things that quite honestly, I don't understand, but I do believe it's it. You say, well, what do you think? I want you to notice two things about this vision. Number one is this, the description Daniel gives. Notice he says that he sees this man. We read that he is clothed in linen. We read that his loins are girded with fine gold. His body is like the beryl, his face the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire.
Amen.
His arms and his feet are like polished brass. And we read that the voice of his words are like the voice of a multitude. And when Daniel sees him, what does it do? It knocks him flat on his face.
Amen.
And I say, that sounds familiar.
Amen.
That sounds like something I never see an angel described like that.
Right.
But I do remember something else. Go to Revelation chapter 1. You know I was going there. It sounds like what happened to John.
Amen.
Revelation 1 in verse 13. Notice we read it, in the midst of the seven candlesticks, of course, John on the island of Patmos. Well, let's look at verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle, his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters.
Amen.
And he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead.
Amen.
And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. Going back to Daniel chapter 10, I believe that appearing before Daniel was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He saw Jesus. Now, may I remind us also that this is not the first time that we find Christ in the book of Daniel. Do you remember back in chapter 3 when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace, and they were there in the midst of that fiery furnace, and they were unscathed, unharmed, didn't even smell like smoke, and as they looked into that fiery furnace, they saw one like unto the Son of God.
Amen.
There was a fourth person in there with them. Who was that? Jesus Christ Himself.
Amen.
Chapter 7. If you remember Daniel in his first vision, we see that he had seen what the Bible refers to as the Ancient of Days, ruling on his throne in his kingdom. There it is, none other again. Who did he see on the throne in the kingdom? None other than the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And then here he is again. And may I say, that's not unusual. There are, that's what we call a Christophany. It's an Old Testament pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that scattered throughout the Old Testament. We see it in Genesis chapter 15 when Jesus Christ met with Abraham. It was in Genesis chapter 32. Again, some of these things I don't understand, but it's true. We find the Lord Jesus Christ wrestling with Jacob. Wrestling with Jacob? Mm-hmm. In Exodus 32, if you remember, Moses desired to see God, and God gave him an appearance, and he saw that image in the cleft of the rock. That was an image of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Joshua chapter 6, around Jericho, when he met the captain of the host, who was that person? The Lord Jesus Christ. Daniel's in the presence of God.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Now I understand we're always in the presence of God.
Amen.
But Daniel was in the presence of God.
Hallelujah.
So we see the description Daniel gives, but we also see the reaction Daniel had. So what happens to Daniel? Well, he comes up and he high-fives him. Ah, there's my man. Hey, everybody, look, it's the man upstairs. The one I talk to all the time. Give me a break.
Amen.
Give me a break.
Amen.
The one we praise and worship all the time, he's here. Please.
Right.
He falls down on his face.
Amen.
Like a dead man.
Amen.
Couldn't move. Couldn't move. We read in verse 8, Daniel has no strength in him.
Amen.
We read that his comeliness, or that means any. Look at verse 8, let's just look at it. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption. What he's saying there is anything that I thought to be good of me paled in the presence of God.
Amen.
Kind of like Isaiah. He saw himself as a sinful man. He retained no strength. In verse 9, when he hears the voice, yet I heard the voice of his words. When I heard the voice of his words, and was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground, again flat on his face. He touches him. Tries to get him to stand up. Daniel goes from his face, just summing it up, flat on his face, to his hands and knees.
Amen.
And he's saying, fear not, Daniel. And he gets him to stand up before he speaks with him. As he speaks, notice, and when at the end of verse 11, and when he had spoken this word unto me, notice, I stood trembling.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You say, what are you trying to say? Here's what I'm trying to say. Daniel had a holy fear of God.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I'm not talking when I say Daniel's vision of God. I'm not just talking about what he saw. I'm talking about how he perceived God.
Amen.
He was greatly beloved because his vision of God was that God is one to be feared. God is holy. God is righteous. God is just. And he understood that, and he fell on his face.
Amen.
Flat.
Right.
No wonder he said, a man greatly beloved.
Amen.
What is your view of God? What is our view of God as a church? You know, you can learn a lot about a church's view of God by their services.
Amen.
You know, come into the house of God. Let's dress down. Preacher gets up there in a pair of jeans and a turtleneck. Sits on a little stool on the side. God forbid he has a pulpit. You know what that tells me? It tells me a lot about their vision of God.
Amen.
We don't do this for man. We do it for God.
That's right. Amen.
We do it for Him.
Praise the Lord.
If you were going to see the President of the United States, or you're going to court or some important meetings, what do? You dress up. That's what we do.
Right.
Why?
Amen.
It shows we think it's important.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Should be the same with God.
Amen. That's right.
And His house.
Amen.
You know, unbelievers today have no fear of God. Not less and less fear of God as time progresses. It used to be in our nation that, in general, there was a fear of God. There was a belief in God. Again, I understand all kinds of different beliefs in there. There were still certainly agnostics and atheists, but more so today than ever. There are people today that have no fear of anything. Psalms 36:1, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there's no fear of God before their eyes.
Right.
I meet more and more people, and you do as well, lost people today, that say this. And I'm just baffled by this. I really am, because I maybe it's a cult, maybe it's a time thing, I don't know. But they say this, I'm not afraid to die.
Right.
I'll say, you're not? No. Not me. You're going to meet God. Well, I'm not afraid. Really? That's scary.
Amen.
Proverbs 30 says this, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness.
Amen.
That's this generation.
Amen.
But can I bring it into the church house?
Amen.
And say this, that more Christians today don't fear God either?
Amen.
Well, I'm saved. But they have no fear of disobeying His word.
Wow. Right.
Just do what I want. Preacher, I know what the Bible says, but... I wish I had a nickel for every time I heard that phrase. Well, I know what the Bible says, but, you know... Don't we fear Him?
Amen.
You see, when we fear God, we tremble at His word. It's not just words on a page. It's not just a nice little story. It's not just a nod of the head and a walk out of the service being the same we've been all the time. It's more than that. We say, this is the Word of God.
Glory to God.
We're humbled at His presence.
Amen.
Are we? We humbled when we enter into the presence of God. Is there a fear there? Aren't we supposed to bow our heads when we pray?
Amen.
Aren't we supposed to close our eyes when we pray?
Right.
Aren't we supposed to close our mouths when someone's leading in prayer instead of storming into a room when prayer's going on as if it's no big deal? After all, what I have to do is more important. No, we are entering in the presence of God.
Amen.
There's been times I've been praying in my office before the service, down on a knee, and someone comes in and just barges right in the door. I say, can I bother you with something for a minute? I want to get up and say, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Where's the fear of God? Well, where is the fear of His presence? Where is our vision of a holy God? Why don't we see disobedience to His word as sin?
Amen.
Well, preacher, not coming tonight, church service. Why is that? Well, you know, it's Memorial Weekend. Got to prepare for tomorrow. Got a big barbecue. Oh, okay. I never know what to say to that stuff. I know what to say, but I don't know what to say that would sound right. Everything I know to say would not sound right. And it would not sound nice. I try to control my face. My wife knows how to read me like a book. Some of the guys on staff are picking up on it as well. They'll say, "You're blinking. I know what that means," and you start blinking. That's, I don't know what to say. And if I say something, I'm going to sin. But where's the fear of God?
Amen.
Where is it? Where's the fear of God?
Amen.
Daniel had it. No wonder God said, a man greatly beloved. His passion, his vision of God. And thirdly, we're done right here. Thanks for letting me preach long tonight. Notice Daniel's determination. So Christ is speaking to Daniel in verse 12. And I'm not going to take verse by verse to the end, so don't get nervous here. But as he's speaking, it's very interesting that he tells him of a celestial battle that's taking place. Oh, I wish I could spend a week on this, or at least a half hour on this. Maybe, Lord willing, I could do something like that in the near future. And I'll be the first to admit that I don't understand all of this, but I believe it by faith. I don't understand why Jesus Christ would battle celestial beings. But then why again did he wrestle with Jacob? Why was he ministered to by angels in the Garden of Gethsemane and after his temptation? I don't understand all of that. I know he's omnipotent, I do.
Amen.
And I know he controls, and the devil cannot do anything without his permission. I get all that. But there's some things that happen here. And we're seeing this great celestial battle. Daniel was praying, and notice what he says in verse 12. "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard." Daniel, the moment you got on your knees and you started praying to me that very first day, I heard all of it.
Hallelujah.
I heard it.
Amen.
Daniel had no idea. And he says here, "And I am come for thy words." Verse 13, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me." Evidently, Satan has a hierarchy, and I believe God does as well, a hierarchy of celestial beings. And there are demons, if you will, fallen angels, the devils, whatever, cronies, if you call them, that are assigned over certain nations. There's one over Persia. God has his, Michael, assigned over Israel. And as things are happening in this world, there's great celestial battles that are going on.
Amen.
Wow. The devil didn't want Daniel to hear this revelation. And so he's battling, he's fighting, he's trying to, this prince of Persia is trying to stop it. But here comes Michael, the chief prince in verse 13, to help him.
Amen.
And he says, "Now I'm here. Now I'm here." You see, what ensued from the very first day that Daniel began praying until 3 weeks later till he got the answer to that prayer, again, was a spiritual, angelic, demonic battle between the forces of God and the forces of hell.
Amen.
And after 3 weeks, the answer came.
Amen.
You say, "Preacher, do you really believe that stuff?" I do. You don't think things are happening in this room?
Amen.
I believe they are.
Amen.
I believe they are because the Bible says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Even the Apostle Paul said this in 1 Thessalonians 2:18, "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us."
Amen.
So You say, what are you saying, preacher? Here's what I'm saying. Daniel had no idea. Yet he stayed faithful to praying and seeking God,
amen,
even
amen,
though he didn't get an answer.
Right.
Determined. He was determined to seek God. He was determined to get an answer from God. Even though he didn't hear anything for 3 weeks, he kept praying and praying and walking with God and pleading with God and trusting that God would do what he said he'd do. Daniel was a man determined. He didn't stop. You know, the Lord said in Luke 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray,
amen,
and not to faint.
Amen.
He was determined to keep going for God, whether God answered him or not, whether God changed things or not.
Amen.
He kept going and going and going for God,
praise
even
the
though the heavens seemed as brass.
Amen.
You haven't been there? You pray and you
amen
wonder, Lord. Lord, I've been asking you for 20 years. Lord, I've been asking you for 3 years for this. God, I've been asking you for this, for that. And so often we get to the place we say, well, I guess it's not worth serving God.
Not right.
That's not Daniel.
Amen.
Daniel kept going. And going and
praise
going.
Lord.
Why is that? He loved the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
He trusted God.
Amen.
No wonder he was a man greatly beloved.
Praise the Lord.
So, you want to be like Daniel?
Yes. Amen.
Right here. I do. Man, I want to be like Daniel, then have a passion and a burden for God's work and God's people.
Amen.
See God as He is, a holy and just and righteous, a holy God.
Amen.
And be determined to serve Him. In good times and bad times.
Amen.
Oh, it's fun to serve in good times. But just hang in there a while. There are going to be some bad times in the Christian life.
Right.
We all have them.
Right.
What are you going to do about it? I say, well, you know what? It's not worth it. No, it is worth it.
Amen.
Be determined to serve the Lord.
Amen.
You want to be like Daniel. Amen.
Let's pray.